happy Mother's Day to all the mothers in our lives. And man, I hope today is a day where you feel and you can see and know just how loved you are. And I think for all of us too, I hope that today also is not the only day that the women in our lives feel loved and seen and special, right? It's Mother's Day, and it's one day a year, but I hope that really it's just an overflow of the rest of our lives and the times together. And so today, yes, it is Mother's Day, but today we're actually we're beginning a new series called Seasons. And as we talk about seasons, we're really looking at the different seasons of life that we go through, whether it's parenting, whether it's raising teenagers, or the adult years where the kids are out of the house and you have grown-up children, or you're caring for aging parents, or you find yourself in retirement. I don't know if you actually like find yourself in retirement. You work towards retirement, but no matter what season you're in, the goal of this series and what we're going to be looking at is we're going to be looking at each season of life, each age and stage, and see what God has for us in those seasons. And not just what God has in those seasons. It's not just about knowing what he has in those seasons, but it's about leaning in to what God has for us so that as we lean in and as we lean into him and that leading of the Spirit, every stage of our life, that we would walk in the fullness of what God has for us in our time on earth. And so as we go through these things, today we're actually going to begin with parenting. We're going to be talking about parenting, and I just want to share three things real quick. Number one, I don't have it all figured out. Number two, I don't know anybody who has it all figured out. And number three, if you do, you can come up and have the stage for the next 25 minutes, because parenting is fun, and it's a blessing, but it's also, it's a hard thing to do. It's not easy. But no, seriously, I want to begin our time with two things real quick. Number one, I definitely don't have it figured out, and I'll just be honest with you, I'm not the perfect parent. There's so many times when in life, in 2.5 years of being a dad, where I've messed up more than I want to admit. And not only have I messed up more than I want to admit, but anything that I share, not just today, but like any time at all that's good, I want God to get the credit for that. Because anything good in our lives is a gift from him, and it's ultimately a work of him in us. And ultimately, the ultimate goal is not to say, hey, look at me or look at this person who's doing it right or doing it perfectly. The whole goal and the whole point of life is to point at the one who is the perfect parent. Because the word of God is God's heart and God's breath on a page, and God is the perfect parent, God the Father. See, I know when we say the word parenting and we talk about parents, that comes with a lot of thoughts, right? For some of you in here, this is the second thing. When we talk about parents, sometimes that's a good thing, right? You had a great relationship with your parents, right? You grew up and you had all these memories and all these things that you and your mom and dad did. And when you think back on your childhood, you're like, man, life was great. It wasn't perfect, but it was great. But I also know that while there's some of us in here today, I know that we have a diverse crowd, and I know that there's some people who, while you had a great relationship with your parents, there are others who you would say, I had no relationship or a very small relationship with my parents. I know that we have couples in here today that as you're going through life, you're like, man, we are trying to figure it out. We're a young family, and we didn't necessarily have it modeled for us well growing up, and so we're just kind of figuring things out as we go. So there's young parents, and then we have grandparents who are raising your kids, right? There's all kinds of things in between. You have blended families. You have single moms, single dads. You have blended families. You have aunts and uncles who are stepping in, or maybe you were raised by somebody who wasn't your parent. But they were like that spiritual influence in your life. And you say, man, my eternity is different because somebody stepped into the gap and shared and showed the love of Jesus with me at a time when I needed it the most. And because of them and because they took time to intentionally invest in me, man, I know who Jesus is because this person stepped in and acted as a spiritual mother or spiritual father. Man, there's all kinds of thoughts when it comes to parenting. And so as we talk about this today, right, remember, I'm not the expert at this, but here's what I want to do. I want to point at some principles of God's word. Right? I want to look at some principles of God's word to know what does it look like to lean into this season and whether or not you find yourself with a family, with kids, I think there's going to be something in this for every single one of us. And no matter what our history has been, no matter what your history has been with your parents or the history that you've built with your kids, I know that we serve a God who's all about restoring relationships and giving second chances. So no matter where you come from, no matter what your background is, here's my hope and my goal for us today is to see Jesus for who he is. See, in John chapter 1, we get an insight into who Jesus is and the Father, right? The Father-Son relationship between God the Father and God the Son. And if you place your faith in Jesus, then we have a new Heavenly Father, right? We have a perfect Heavenly Father who loves you and loved us enough to send his son Jesus to die on the cross to restore the relationship that was broken. John chapter 1, verses 12 to 14 says this, "But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them the right to become children of God. But they were reborn, not with a physical rebirth that results from human passion or plans, but a birth that comes from God. And so the word became flesh." That's Jesus. He became human. "He made his home among us, and he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." You say, what does all of this have to do with parenting? Right? What does this verse have to do with parenting and beginning? Well, it starts with this. As parents and as people who have influence in the lives of kids and other people, man, we can raise our kids to have a great life, right? We can be focused on getting them the right education, teaching them the right study habits, setting them up financially for the future. We can give them all the right experiences. We can get them on the right travel teams and sports teams to try to set them up to play, to have a successful future. We can get all of those things down. But at the end of the day, if we don't share Jesus with them, man, we've missed the entire point of life. And I think to say it a little bit differently is this. In some ways, we can be, as parents, the focus can turn to be, let's set our kids up for the best life now and comfortably walk them into an eternity that's separated from God if we don't share Jesus with them. We could be so focused on trying to build heaven on earth for them that we miss the one who can ultimately, and the only one who can actually get us to heaven, and that is the person of Jesus that was accomplished by the work that he did in his time on earth. Because the reality is, eternity is coming. And we have just a few short moments with our kids. Right? Everybody says, I got a 2.5-year-old, and everybody said the days are long and the years are short. Sometimes I feel that, right? 2.5 is a fun age and it's a fun stage. But as Clay's getting older, it's hitting me. He's halfway to kindergarten, which means time's just gonna fly after that. And so I'm sitting here wondering, and I'm sitting here asking the question, how do I be intentional with the moments that I have? And that's what we're gonna be looking at today. How do we be intentional with the time that we do have? And so as we begin and as we look, I want to talk a little bit about how many weeks we have with a kid from the time they're born to the time they graduate high school. So this is actually from Becky Kippart. Becky was up here helping lead the parent-child dedication, but she had this in her office, and I asked for permission. I didn't just take it. But each one of these marbles represent 1 week of a child's life from the time they're born to the time they graduate high school. There's about 940 marbles, give or take, in this jar. That's about how many weeks we have with the kids from the time they're born to the time they're out of our care. And so, how do we make the most of it? Well, there's a widely accepted understanding that there's really kind of like four seasons of parenting in this time frame. Right, and there's different ways that experts say this, and there's different ways they define it, maybe different words that they exchange, but generally speaking, there's these four stages and the four seasons of parenting. Right, I'm gonna throw them up here on the screen. There's the 0 to 5 years. These are the discipline years or the years of correction. Right, and in these times, we really wanna focus on self-awareness. Right, self-awareness, helping them grow into understanding who they are. Right, really forming and solidifying their identity as our children. Then you get to the second stage, which is the ages of about 6 to 11, right? And these are the training years. And these are the years where we want to help coach them and help work with some self-direction, right? How do we help them begin to make decisions in life, right? Some people say that 0 to 5 and really 0 to 8 is about some of the most formidable years of a child's life. But then we move from the second stage to the third season, which is about the ages of 12 to 18. And these are the coaching years. Right? These are the coaching years, not because you feel like you're in the car all the time going to sporting events or traveling around, but these are the coaching years, really trying to help build into them what does it mean to have self-control. Right? So as the kids start to make decisions, it's like, how do you have self-control around those decisions? But then you get to the ages of 18 years plus, and as you've built in these different seasons of parenting, the hope and the goal is that you can enjoy the fruit of that and enjoy what's called the friendship years, the years where these kids are built and sent out from the home to show and share the love of Jesus, or in other words, to express selflessness. That's the hope and the goal, right? So these are the different seasons of parenting, but the question is, how do we be intentional with the time that we have? So with the rest of the time that we have, we're gonna be focusing on three things. We're gonna look at three passages and see the three things that we're really gonna be focusing on as we look to raise kids to follow Jesus. And the first thing that we wanna focus on is we wanna focus on faith. We wanna focus on faith. And I didn't send this in with my notes earlier in the week, but as I was thinking about focusing on faith and maybe some of the difficulties surrounding this holiday, I shared before that Carissa and I's story that just our journey alone, right? We went from being told that we wouldn't be able to have kids to struggling with infertility, to struggling with miscarriage, to having a son, to finding ourselves back again where we're like, man, God, we would love to continue to expand our family, but we're just in a place where it's like, God, we don't know what you have in store for our future. And so as I hear and as I think about this holiday and as I think about Mother's Day, I know that there's, like I said earlier, a mixed audience. But what's so interesting about focusing on faith, as we look at this, we're gonna look in a passage in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 6. And as we look at this, we're gonna actually be reading the words of a guy who, from what we know and what we understand from the Bible, didn't have biological children. In fact, here's what he did do though. He looked to invest in other people. He wanted to see faith developed in other people. And in fact, in 1 Timothy, he's writing a letter to a guy named Timothy that's focused on helping him grow in his faith and love other people the way that Jesus had called him to love and lead. And he actually calls him his son in the faith. Not his biological son, but his son in the faith. In other words, Paul cared about other people, influencing other people in their walk with Christ. And so because of that, he wanted to give him these instructions. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. He's talking about focusing on faith. He said this: take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Sorry, that's Ephesians. That's coming later. Never done that before, so here we go. If there's no proof that I'm a perfect parent, I'm not perfect at this. So here we go. There's a lot of proof. Anyways, let's keep going. First Timothy chapter 6, verses 11 and 12. He says, "But you, Timothy, are a man of God. So run from all of these things, these evil things, and pursue righteousness and a godly life, along with faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith, the true faith. Hold tightly to the eternal life which God has called you, which you have declared so well before many, many witnesses. And I charge you before God, who gives life to all, and before Christ Jesus, who gave a testimony before Pontius Pilate, that you obey this command without wavering. Then no one can find fault with you from how you live now until our Lord Jesus Christ comes again." In other words, Paul to Timothy, his son in the faith, he's saying this. He's saying, fight the good fight of faith. He's saying, focus on faith. And later on in Hebrews, we read that Jesus, that we are to fix our eyes, to focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. In other words, as we parent and as we raise kids, or as we have influence on other people, our lives should be all about focusing on Jesus. And I know that sounds so simple, and I know that sounds so cliche, but if we don't get this, then man, we can read through all the parenting books, we could go to all the seminars, we could listen to all the podcasts, we can do all the right things, but if it's not centered on the foundation of Jesus and who he is, we will miss the mark on parenting. So Paul is saying here, he's saying, focus on faith. And it's faith and faith development. Because as we focus on faith and raising our children up to follow Jesus, really this is the goal of raising kids, right? When a child is born, they are completely dependent on you, right? They're dependent on you for everything, right? To feed them, to change their diapers, to play with them, to read, like to do everything, to take them to where they need to go. They need you for everything. But as they grow older, the goal is this, as much as possible for them, is to move them from becoming dependent on you completely to being independent adults as much as possible. But the goal is, it doesn't just stop at becoming an independent adult. The path forward is to move from becoming an independent adult to becoming an interdependent person who understands and recognizes the truth that God created us for relationship. Right, so the goal is not to just be a person who can do it all by themselves and doesn't need anybody else. God created us to be in community. And so how do we live as people who understand that God created us for community? All right, so as a child, as we raise them up and we train them up, it's to go from dependence on us to independence to interdependence. But when it comes to faith, kind of like flip those first two things on their head. Kind of flip those things around, because when we're born separated from God. We're born completely independent from him. And the only way to be in a right relationship with God the Father is through faith in Jesus Christ. And so really faith is all about moving from independence, saying, God, I got this. I'm gonna live my life on my own, in my own ways, in my own strength apart from you. It's moving from that to total dependence on him. It's following the leading of the Holy Spirit as he works in our lives. As God works and moves, it's saying, God, I surrender my way, my independence, my choice to your way. God, as you work, God, I surrender my work. God, as you move, God, I surrender the moves that I want to make, and I say, God, this is what I want to do, but ultimately, God, I want to follow you. I want to walk by faith. Galatians tells us that the righteous will live by faith. And so, God, as I grow in faith, it's like I want to walk in faith, and I want to walk by faith. So, yes, dependence and growing in dependence on God is really another way to say it's I'm growing in faith. I want to walk by faith. So that's the first thing. The first thing that we want to focus on is we want to focus on faith and focus on faith in Jesus. But then the second focus, it moves us to focus on the moments that we have. Right? As we talk about raising kids or having influence in our family, we want to focus on the moments that we have. See, one interesting note that I came across earlier this week was there was a study done a few years ago, within the last 3 years, that tried to track when are the most intentional times that you can have with your kids. So this is a totally secular study. They're not trying to prove faith. They're not trying to prove the Bible to be true. This is totally independent of any religious affiliation. This secular study found and discovered that the four best times and the four most intentional moments that a parent can have with their kid are the times when they're at home eating a meal around a table, when they're in the car on the road, and when a kid wakes up and right before they go to bed. Those four times. And what's so interesting about those four times is this, that this scientific study didn't discover anything new. In fact, what it did is it reaffirmed something that God said thousands of years ago in Deuteronomy. Because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, God says to the nation of Israel, he gives them commands. And as he gives them this command, he does this to parents, talking about raising their kids. I want you to capture what God says. God gives the instruction, and then he tells them when to give those instructions to their kids. Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. It says, "Listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today." Then he gets to verse 7. And this is where God said when you're supposed to give these commands, when you're supposed to be intentional with your kids. He says, "Repeat them again and again." Capture this. Talk about them when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. I love it. Science is catching up to what God said thousands of years ago. I love it when this kind of stuff happens. It's like, man, science is discovering what God already said. And as we talk about raising our kids, it's focusing on the moments that you have. And as we look at these marbles and as we look at the time that we have, it's not very much. I said there's about 940 weeks from the time a child is born to the time they graduate. They're going to spend about 500 weeks sleeping or eating. So when we think about the time that we have, man, we don't have a lot of time. The days are long, but the years are short. It flies by. And so as we think about parenting and raising our kids to know who Jesus is, we need to focus on the moments that we have. And that's so easy to say, but when the rubber hits the road, when our schedule starts to build up, when our time commitments and our time constraints start to come, the question is, what are our true priorities? Right, what is it that we can actually do? Man, how do we actually lean into the moment? How do we actually focus on the moments that we have? And how do we be intentional with them? How do we be intentional with the time that we have? This last week, I had a lot going on, right? I had a lot of deadlines. I had a lot of things that I had to get done and turn in. And so Thursday morning comes, and Carissa had to leave early. And so I got to be dad until the babysitter came. And so Carissa was out of the house, and she was gone, and Clay woke up, got out of bed, came to me, and he said, "Dad, you get donuts with me?" It was just so simple. And I was like, man, I don't know that I have an hour to do this. But I also, as I'm sitting here reading all this and understanding, like thinking through this, I'm like, oh man, I don't know that I don't have an hour to give to this. This could potentially be one of the most important hours of today. So we got in the car, we got ready. This is the fastest he ever got ready. We got ready, we got in the car, we drove to the donut place, as he calls it, and we got a donut. And you know what we got in that morning to start the day off? I got some intentional time when he woke up. I got intentional time in the car. No phone. I didn't play music or anything. We just talked on the way. We got a highly nutritious donut with sprinkle meal. And we got an hour together. And I sit back and I think, man, it hit me that those moments come. And when those moments come, if I don't take advantage of those times, those moments will come and they'll go and I'll never get that back. And it hit me. It's like, man, I gotta focus on the moments that I have. And not just focus on the moments that I have, but the third thing that I realize is this. It's, I gotta focus in the moments that I have. Focus in the moments that I have. Because when that time came, it would have been so easy to do what is kind of like muscle memory, right? Whenever I get in the car to go anywhere, I throw a podcast on or I throw on some music. And honestly, like this thing becomes an opportunity to kind of just mentally check out. To just kind of like, hey, you know, I'm gonna veg out, I'm gonna zone out, and just kind of like refill my own cup. That's kind of what I say anyway. That's kind of what I tell. Maybe I'm the only person in the room who thinks that, but it's like, man, this thing becomes an opportunity to become distracted from the most important things and to lose sight and to lose focus of the moments that we do have. Because the reality is, as we think about the time that we have and what God has given us, this thing can easily take up a lot of space, right? And it can actually get in the way and it can become a temptation to become the center of my life, of raising my kid, of raising Clay. And see, as we think about making the most of the moments that we have and focusing in the moments, this isn't just something that sounds good. It's not just trying to play off of words, right? To play off of the points. Really, this is actually Ephesians 5, the passage that I started reading earlier. We're gonna get to it here. Because in Ephesians 5, the middle of 5 to the end of 6, so really the end of the book of Ephesians, Paul is talking about living by the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit. And as he's talking about living by the leading and the power of the Holy Spirit, right in the middle of that, he gives instructions to households, to families. Like, how do we live by faith? How do we walk by faith? How do we lean into the season that we're in and follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? And as he begins the section to families, this is what he says. This is how it starts out. He says, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. But that and further, here's a little insight for it. As you're reading God's word, when you read those and further, this is what that means. That whatever Paul is about to write is connected to what he just wrote. So as he writes and further, before he gets to the instructions for households, this is what Paul writes in verse 17. I'm gonna go back to 15. He says, so be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but live like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't act thoughtlessly. Be intentional. Lean in and focus in the moments that you have, because the days are evil. There's always something or someone that wants to disciple your kids. Right, in fact, I heard a stat, I don't know how true this is, that kids can spend up to 10 hours a day on average on their phones. There is something that's always vying for their attention. There's always something vying for their attention, but there's always something vying for their focus. And so my challenge and my encouragement to us today as we think about how do we begin to focus in the moment is this. As families, consider your weekly rhythms, consider the days. And my challenge for us is this, to find a phone-free zone in your home. Right? What are the phone-free zones in our home? Right? Some people say the bedroom and the kitchen, the dining room and the bedroom, right? Those are the phone-free zones. Because those are the times when we can have a captive audience. Remember, repeat them to your child again and again. Talk about it when you're at home, when you're on the road, when you lie down and when you get up. So as we think about raising our families to follow Jesus and focus on faith, it's making the most of the opportunities we have. It's being intentional with the time that we have. It's focusing on faith, focusing on the moments that you have, and focusing in the moments you have. And if we have the phone in front of our face, it's gonna be really hard to be intentional. And I'm not just talking about kids and their phones. I'm also talking to parents as well. It's saying, how do we set the phone aside and be intentional with the person in front of us? Because it's when we have those little moments. So like faith is formed in little moments, not big events. And so as we live our lives, as we think about the seasons of parenting or the season of parenting, it's saying, God, I wanna do the best that I can consistently, not perfectly, with the people that you've given me. And so God, I wanna be intentional to learn from the perfect Heavenly Father what it looks like to love my children in a selfless way and to raise them to also become selfless so that they can show and share the love of Jesus. And we do that as we lean into the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. Pray for your kids. Pray over your kids. Tell them about Jesus. Read to them before bedtime. Have a meal together every single week around the table where there's no phones and there's no distractions. Ask them about their day. Say, what was the best part of your day? Don't ask a yes or no question. Did you like school today? Because the answer is always gonna be no. But ask them, what was the best part of your day? And lean in. Pray before the meal and do those things. Build those little moments into your day, into your week, and over the course of time, you will build a family of faith. Let's pray. God, thank you for today. And Lord, I thank you for who you are. God, thank you for being the perfect Heavenly Father and sending your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sin so that we could be reunited and restored to you. God, I pray that as we think about parenting or maybe being a spiritual mother or a spiritual father in the life of somebody else. God, I pray that we would take these biblical principles and that we would lean into the power of your Spirit in us and walk in step with you to learn from you, to love our kids intentionally, and to form families of faith that are focused on you and your son Jesus by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Man. Well, hey, thank you for worshiping with us today. On your way out, mothers, feel free to grab the shower steamer and stop by the photo booth, and we will see you next week.